Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
It is the Aaron Rodgers Show, starring Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, reigning Super Bowl MVP, and the quarterback of the 13-0 defending Super Bowl champs. What do you think of 13-0 there, bud?
Did you pick against us this week?
No, and no. You won anyway.
Did you pick the margin to be 30?
I said 31-13, which it was 31-0 at one point, but I thought Michael Bush would be more productive against your defense. What does 13-0 feel like? Any different than 12-0, 11-0, 10-0?
Well, we got our bye wrapped up. That's fun. Knowing that we're going to get that that week off after the last game, I think that's something to look forward to. But it doesn't feel a whole lot different other than, you know, we're coming off a game where we played played good on in all three phases, which feels good. It's fun to get Ryan going there early. I mean, that first carry was incredible. You know, we've kind of been waiting for something like that all year, and he finally got some opportunities and made the most of them. So it was fun to get him going, and it sucked to lose Greg to an injury there, but Donald had a good game, Jordy had a good game, and the defense, 5 turnovers. I mean, you're not going to lose when the defense is playing like that.
We will we'll talk about the game more, but obviously the biggest news that came out in the Wisconsin sporting world other than your victory was about your friend Ryan Braun. I know that you were asked about it after the game, but now that you've had a little time to give it some thought, what was your reaction when you got the news, and how do you kind of view the way this whole thing has unfolded with your friend?
Well, I thought, first of all, it was inappropriate that the second question in my football post-game press conference was about Ryan. So that's why I didn't want to answer in that context. I thought it was highly inappropriate. But, you know, Ryan and I are good buddies, and probably my best athlete friend, and we keep in touch, obviously, throughout the year, and I spent a lot of time with him. I was very surprised that the news came out the way it did. You would think that there would be some sort of confidentiality surrounding the situation because he is appealing it. Other than that, you know, I don't want to comment a whole lot on the allegations or whatnot. I just would say that, you know, I 100% support Ryan and believe in him, and it's not going to affect our friendship in the least. I'm 100% supporting him and behind him and believe in everything that he says.
You know, the one thing about this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong as we go through this, but it would seem one of the reasons why you guys are friends is because there are some similarities in your personalities. You're both smart. You both kind of take your image seriously. Whether you agree or not with the idea of being a role model as an athlete, you realize that that's the case. Doesn't it just seem like, again, and I don't know how much you've talked to him, but doesn't it just seem like there's something wrong with this picture because of the kind of guy you know he is and the way it's played out so far?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, I've known Ryan for a while now, and spent a lot of time hanging out. And this is, you know, I know I've been in the locker room, and I've seen, you know, I've seen him, you know, working out and stuff, and I'm, you know, it's just ridiculous, the allegations. I think as much as he probably can't say a whole lot right now, just the fact that, you know, he was willing to take a test right after that and supposedly, I don't know what, you know, I don't know exactly what's all is out there, but, I just am trusting, that my good friend has not been using anything that's illegal. And I'm very confident that that's the case because, I know how he cares about, the integrity of the game. Wouldn't do anything to jeopardize that.
One last thing before we move on. I know he's got an endorsement deal with Muscle Milk. I know he does take some supplements because he you know, What is your protocol for that? I mean, do you take anything at all? Do you have to go through the medical staff to make sure that you're not taking something that, even though you're not trying to gain an advantage, you could end up testing positive on something because of it?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, the testing policy in the NFL is, I think, as far as for steroid testing, is in the right place right now. We get tested a lot. It's completely random. You don't know about it. You have a couple hours to get it done once you're notified first in the morning. The HGH testing, which was proposed by the NFL, was absolutely ludicrous. Our people went up to Canada and talked to the experts up there, and the test they wanted to implement was highly unreliable.
Really?
Let's say. Yeah. All the data that we were told, the way it's conducted, the results, no research behind it. That being said, the NFL has a very strict policy with clearing different substances through their just making sure it's clean. So there's only a few companies that have been cleared by the NFL, and anything other than that, I think it's silly to use. So what little stuff I use, you know, for as far as protein shakes, is all stuff that's in our weight room that's been cleared by the NFL. And other than that, I don't really try anything else. You know, in high school, I think, you know, in the early 2000s, creatine was huge. And I think just about everybody that I knew was using creatine. I tried that in high school, but since then I haven't used anything other than whey protein or protein that's cleared by the NFL.
What's a drug test like?
Very,
I mean, is there a guy that's
very uncomfortable?
He's making sure that you're not using the who's the guy from Oregon?
Thanks to Ontario Smith,
yeah,
and the Wizinator. It's gotten a lot more intrusive over the last since 2005 when I was first drafted. I think the Wizinator was shortly thereafter. But you know, it's part of the process. They've got a job to do, and you go in there, do your business, and get out.
Not the highlight of your week, by any means.
Nah.
But let's talk about what was, I would think, the highlight of your week, and that was how well you guys played offensively. But there was, you mentioned it earlier, the drawback of Greg Jennings getting hurt.
Yep.
And I realize that these aren't meaningless games. There's not really any such thing as a meaningless game. But we are getting close to you having everything locked up, and if you win on Sunday in Kansas City, you will have everything locked up. I asked you this after the game. You don't get any apprehension or nervousness when there's nothing really at stake, per se, in terms of playoff positioning, to go out there and risk an injury?
I don't, only because the injuries are part of the game. They're going to happen regardless if it's week one or week 15. Now, I think that you know, the score may come into play here the last few weeks, potentially, if we've got things wrapped up, which I'd say it did on Sunday as well. You know, if we were trying to finish that game out, I would guess maybe I would have played one or two more series there.
Okay.
But under the circumstances, the way our defense was playing, they decided to put Matt in there and to take you know, a couple other guys out. Scotty came out, you know, as well. So, you know, it's about Mike and his decisions and what he thinks is in the best interest of the football team, and we all trust him and his judgment.
Do you change anything in terms of how aggressive you guys might be earlier in games?
I don't think
more shots,
well,
to get a lead so you can get out of the game.
Not necessarily. I think you just got to keep playing. You want to get into a rhythm and be playing the way you want to play in January. Now, that being said, you know, it's definitely more advantageous for us getting out of the game quicker if we're putting points up early and able to stop them. But, you know, we're playing, you know, a road game, which is tough to play on the road. And who knows the mental status of the Chiefs and how they're going to be playing after they fired Todd Haley, and then we're playing two teams that are fighting for playoff spots. So it's going to be high intensity games down the stretch, but you know, I don't think we're going to be thinking about injuries or playing extra conservative. That's just my guess.
McCarthy brought out one of his one of those quotes that you kind of remember when he says it, kind of like, we're nobody's underdog before New England, and a few other things he said, because he's not always that quotable. He said, we don't play scared. Was that his message to you guys, too, that that's kind of going to be? I know he's keeping his plan for the last two games, if it comes to that, under wraps, but was that something along the lines of what he said to you guys?
No, there hasn't been a conversation like that yet. We haven't talked about how we're going to play, if we're going to pull guys or anything. Haven't really had those conversations. Yeah, I think if things could change after this weekend, depending on the result, and if we, you know, are able to wrap things up, then I'm guessing we're all going to figure out his plan.
you mentioned Ryan, and I know you guys are friends. What was it like to see him show what he still had in the tank, so to speak? I think a lot of people had kind of forgotten what this guy who had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons was capable of. And I think he reminded folks of that.
You know what? I'm really happy for him. You know, Ryan's been a good friend, an incredible teammate, and just a guy who really takes his job seriously and cares about the team over himself. You know, a lot of guys, you know, coming off 1,200-yard seasons, now you're not getting the kind of carries you want or the stats you want, might distance himself from the rest of the guys or be a little bit selfish or just not the same kind of guy, same positive attitude that you know him when he's playing well. Ryan was the complete opposite. He's been helpful. I sit behind him in the meetings, and he just takes his job really seriously. And I think as a team leader and a friend, you can't help but be really impressed and appreciative of the way that he's approached his job this year. So when he ran those touchdowns in, I mean, I'm just ecstatic for him because he really deserves that. He's a warrior, a tough runner in the winter months, as he's shown over his career, and a guy who really exemplifies, in my opinion, what it means to be a Packer.
You said you sit behind him. That's in the offensive meeting?
Correct.
Tom Clements was telling me on Thursday about your quarterbacks meetings and how on Friday it's really Graham and Matt's day. And can you kind of give us a feel for what you're doing in there? Because it sounded like you kind of are in your mentoring role and letting them kind of go through the film and whatever.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think Tom's approach with the week of preparation is excellent. A couple of things that he's implemented, you know, he has those guys do a report, scouting report, which I used to do as well. And for me, that really forced me to watch film, but forced me to learn about the other players. And I think it did a ton for me when I finally got my opportunity, because I'd already studied these guys. I knew about them. I watched a lot of hours of film on them. And so you're into the game already, into the game plan, studying the opponent. You know, and then on Fridays, you have to show a mastery of your own scheme and show that you understand what we're trying to do as far as our game plan that week, which is tough because you don't take the reps. When you're taking the reps in the walkthroughs or on the practice field, it helps you, you know, be a lot quicker with your answers on what we're trying to do that week. So force those guys to study the game plan and know the checks and know the run game really well. And, you know, he's quizzing them. And you know, I'm throwing in some my two cents here and there, but Tom really understands how to control that room and make it a room that's about learning and mentoring and teaching. And it's been great. He's allowed me to have a bigger role, a speaking role in that room at times. But knowing that Tom is the ultimately the best teacher in the room.
What'd you say to Graham Harrell after the Bills came calling? He was very open about the fact that he went to you for advice. I don't know what he would have done had the Packers said, no, we don't have a spot for you on the 53. But what can you kind of take us through those conversations?
I don't want to get too far deep into him, but I will say that he did contact me right away. Him and I have been good friends since he got here. We have a mutual real good friend, Johnny Quinn, who is with us. And Johnny actually roomed together in Canada, in Saskatchewan. And Johnny and I became buddies when he was on the Packer roster in 2008. Still keep in touch. Johnny's actually, a side note here, is bobsledding for the U.S. Olympic bobsled team, which is awesome. Big shout out to Johnny. But anyway, Graham and I have been good friends since he came here, and I was glad he called me for some advice. Basically, just some of the stuff I told him was to think about the situation, obviously, with Matt being in the last year of his contract. It's his status for next season is up in the air. I think there should be some teams interested in him. He played excellent last year against New England. He's had some good preseasons. He's a very smart quarterback. I think he's got a bright future in front of him as an NFL starter. And just reminded Matt that reminded Graham that with Matt potentially leaving, he's a likely successor to be the backup quarterback because he knows the system. He's going to have an off season in the system, which I told him would be very helpful to go through a shortened quarterback school, but an opportunity to work with Tom to study the offense more. So I just reminded him that he was in a good situation. Any extra monetary gains that the Bills could offer him, I remind him, could be offset by a playoff run as well. But in the end, it was his decision. It's nice to be wanted. And to have Buffalo come after him, I think, was very flattering to him. But as I reminded him, if Matt does end up signing back here, really all he's missing out on is the last 4 weeks of the season, potentially going to Buffalo. So I think Graham has a bright future as well, and I hope it's in Green Bay. A
couple of things before we take our lone commercial break on the Aaron Rodgers Show. I know you said you knew that your arm was going forward on the blindside hit, and we'll talk about that play specifically in our Inside the Helmet segment. But do you understand the tuck rule? Do you grasp it?
I do, because I was a big Raider fan. Being a huge Jerry Rice fan when they were in the was it divisional or championship game there against New England, ended up losing with the tuck rule that I think it was the AFC championship. Yeah,
Charles still very bitter about it.
Yeah, I would be as well. Not a big fan of the tuck rule. I'm not. I don't think that was a tuck rule play though.
But they didn't Pete Morelli say? Didn't he mention the tuck rule in his explanation? It sounded. I thought I could have sworn.
I'm not sure if he did or not, but. I was trying to throw the ball over Tom Crabtree's head. So it wasn't a tuck rule. I'm not a big fan of tuck rule.
What about of replay in general? Because I don't know if I've ever seen a replay take quite as long as it did in the game. So long, in fact, that I think they broke the system because it didn't work later on Randall Cobb's kickoff return.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the way they replayed that interception. I'll tell you that much. I think replay has done some good things for the game. I think you've seen it trickle down in other sports in positive ways. I think we still need to keep on some level the human error involved. But I think that there may be a little bit too much referee judgment still involved in the replays.
What about on potential penalty at the end of the Lions-Vikings game? There was a pretty clear face mask that may have impacted the outcome. Do you think they should be able to review, say, a late hit on a quarterback that maybe they don't call right away?
You know what? As the victim of a potential usage of that that part of that rule, I'm going to say that I think, as difficult as this is to say, that's part of the human error that needs to stay in the game. That being said, I'm not sure how you missed that call.
How about the human error in the 1998 NFC wildcard playoff game in San Francisco?
When Jerry fumbled. Needed replay there, for sure.
When we come back, we'll go inside the helmet. We'll look ahead to the Chiefs, and we'll get to your questions and ask Aaron. You are listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.
Talk Packers all day long, on 540 ESPN.
Back from halftime here on the Aaron Rodgers Show, Tuesdays with Aaron, with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. We like to go inside the helmet after each game.
It's a good song, Fish.
Yeah, but he already used it last week. Aren't there other...
You can reuse that one.
You're going to just stick with that one?
Anytime you want. You can switch it up. I'm just saying, that one's good any week.
Okay. I think we should get, what's his, Ed something or another, the lead singer. We should get him to do like a theme song for the show. He live broke up. Didn't the Foo Fighters break up this week?
I thought so, but I guess it was a big joke on Crabtree. Oh man, that was funny. Krabby came in the locker room or in the weight room, just super depressed. Man, the Foo Fighters broke up, and I'm like, no way. He's like, well, I guess the Taylor, the drummer, and the, you know, they must have gotten a fight again or something. Dave and Taylor must have gotten a fight. Like, man, I can't believe it. And I guess Krabby's buddy was playing a joke on him. It's pretty good.
And that's Krabby's favorite band? Or at least among them? Right,
I like,
after Nickelback?
I like to say that Nickelback, Hinder, Creed, and Alter Bridge are right up there for him.
Well, let's go inside the helmet. The first play I wanted to ask you about from the game on Sunday was the blindside hit, because I've watched the play a couple of times now, and I'm trying to understand how you avoid that from happening. I don't know if that's an assignment
thing. Throw it away.
Take us through that play from start to finish.
That was just just kind of losing the play a little bit on my part, knowing they were probably bringing seven guys, but thinking I was going to have just enough time to dump it to Krabby because he was going to block out on his guy and then release in the end zone. And I was kind of hoping that when he blocked out, both those guys would rush. But Krabby kind of got locked up with the one guy. And, it was just one of those things. I thought the line was going to go slide out to the left. They stayed inside. John didn't go back, which he was actually right, not going back. Knew I was pressured, but, one of the situations you probably got to get away. If I could do it all over again, I would have gone into the gun and made an adjustment to the route and, a play where I could have got the ball up and down a little quicker, but, fortunate enough to get that one back.
So you knew they were coming with an empty blitz, and there's no one.
I thought that in that situation that the line was going to ID. I'd missed where they ID'd, and I was looking out to the right when they ID'd. I thought they were going heavy to the left. They were going inside, which is what they were supposed to do. But I thought because of the alignment, they were going to go heavy left. They didn't. Should have gotten the gun and adjusted things and made a better decision.
How often have you gotten a blindside hit? That would seem...
I wouldn't consider that a blindside.
You knew it was coming at some level?
I just thought I was going to have a little bit longer.
Okay.
A little bit longer to get the ball away.
Just from seven floors up in the press box, those seem like the worst possible hits, though, because you're not quite...
If you're moving, it's not as bad because the momentum of you moving kind of absorbs some of the hit. If you're just standing still and you get drilled, that's a lot more painful.
We talked last week about letting plays go when there's an offsides or a neutral zone infraction. They seem to
let
more
it go.
Of it go.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Did you capitalize on any of those, though?
I threw one ball that might have been out of bounds still in Canada. The Jermichael. I can't believe how that much the wind took that one. I felt like I threw it about 5 yards inside the sideline and landed about five at least outside. That was disappointing. There was tight windows on the first play of the game to Greg. And then the other time was, they covered good when they jump. Sometimes when they jump, defense is a little caught off guard,
right,
and you can fit in the window. But we were able to get them when they had too many guys on the field.
That was going to be the next question. Connection here. Exactly. The Jordy touchdown, take us through that one. And obviously you knew that they had 12 guys on the field, apparently.
I think they had 13. If you
really?
Count Richard, yeah. Richard walking off. But Mike in the headset alerted me they were trying to make a change. So we just ran up real quick and snapped it. And Jordy realized what we were doing and that they had too many guys on the field. In that situation, you just want to give them an opportunity to make a play on the ball. So gave it a lot of air. The wind was fighting it a little bit, but Jordy made a great reaction to the ball for a touchdown.
So how many guys do you think a team can put on the field and you could still get a completion? 14? 15?
It depends on what they're doing. If they're going to,
if they blitz
double
12.
The outside guys and triple the two inside guys and rush seven, yeah, it's going to be tough to complete the ball.
Okay. And then the last one that I have to ask about is the interception to Jermichael. And, you had one career red zone interception
on a screen
that.
Pass.
You recall the play, I assume.
Yes.
This one was obviously your first one this year.
Yeah, it's frustrating to turn the ball over in the red zone. It was one of those things where I was even surprised they ruled an interception because it looked like it was simultaneous possession until he was airborne. But the guy made a nice play on the ball. He never saw the ball. Maybe wish I would have put it a tad bit higher. But, in a 50-50 ball in that situation, more times than not, JerMichael's going to come up with it.
Right. I mean, that's a play that you've certainly used with him before. Normally, mm-hmm. he does come down with it.
Right.
Let's look ahead to the Chiefs. You mentioned at the beginning of the show their unrest that they're undergoing. When you see something like that happen, what do you expect from a team, and how do they react? It's not like baseball, where a lot of times they'll fire a manager and a team will go on a seven-game winning streak.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think it's a situation where a lot is going to change with them, with Romeo Coach Romeo Cornell taking over the head coaching duties. I don't think you're going to see like some wholesale changes on offense or defense. But they're either going to play harder for Romeo, or you know maybe some of them might cash the season in. But they have a lot of pride on that side of the ball. They have two really good corners. Both their starting corners are very very talented players. Tom Ali is one of the top rush guys in the AFC. They have some guys' names you know you're going to recognize when you see their personnel. A lot of top draft picks. Obviously, missing Barry, their safety, who is a special player. That doesn't help, but it's still a defense that's playing really well. Their offense might not be scoring a ton of points, but their defense is playing excellent. So it's going to be a tough test for us.
So when did you start your film review of that? Because I know you had Victory Monday.
Yesterday.
And so Victory Monday is not really a day off for you.
No, it's just an opportunity to come in earlier and get your lift done and get out of there a little quicker. Because normally on a Monday you come in, you got to lift by start your lift by 11. So because of the situation that follows that, I usually lift at 11. Then we have a meeting at 12:30, and you know, then watch film and have a meeting. You're not out there until about 3:15.
Right.
But because you get to come in early, then I started my lift yesterday around 9. So I was able to get out of there a little quicker once my computer was done.
By the way, our friend Drew Olson corrects me. It's Ed Kowalczyk, who is the lead singer of Live.
I was a little bit confused by what you're going.
Well, I'm just saying I think we need our own theme song. I mean, I know you love Bone Thugs and Harmony, but the other thing I wanted to ask you about the schedule is Mike McCarthy goes to this kind of like winter schedule, I think he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's moved up a little bit. Is there less meeting time, less practice time, and is that helpful in any way late in the season?
I think it is because of the long grind that we're in as far as the season goes. Mike switches to a little more time. In the classroom and less time on the field. He had a breakdown. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I think over the week it's maybe an hour less on your feet or something like that. So he does a good job of taking care of our bodies. The rules also help with that, with the new CBA,
right,
as far as how many padded practices you can have. But Mike does a good job of making sure that we're fresh by Sunday.
Are you excited about the possibility of wrapping everything up this week and anxious to hear the plan after we know that you guys are the number one seed?
I am I'm anxious to get to Sunday and excited about the opportunity to wrap things up. There's some information that's privileged and some that it's for some people's ears only. So I can't say that I'm completely oblivious to what the potential plans are, but I am excited about the rest of the team figuring them out as well.
How we've asked so many questions about undefeated, not just on this show, but obviously you get them after every game. The national media, there's more and more of them. But it sure does seem like Tim Tebow mania is really preventing the undefeated talk from getting intense. Do you get that feeling at all?
There have been a number of other distractions, which have positive distractions, which have taken the focus off of us. We're fine with that. I mean, it was similar in the preseason when people were talking about the Eagles and other teams that they thought were going to be the tops in the NFC, and we just kind of said, hey, we think we still got a pretty good team coming back. I can't say we've flown under the radar. There's a little blurb on the SportsCenter bottom line about us just about every time you turn it on when they talk about our record and who we're playing and whatnot. So they talk about it enough. I think we don't need any more attention.
Let's do our Ask Aaron questions. If you want to get involved in that process, you can do it via Twitter using the hashtag AskAaron. We've had a I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like we've had a couple of good weeks in a row. Let's see how this week goes. The first one comes from Michaela. What kind of stuff do you talk about with the referees when you're walking off the field? Some of your discussions seem animated. It looked like Pete Morelli sought you out at halftime, was it?
I kind of sought him out.
Oh, okay.
I've always had a lot of respect for Pete. You know, he's repped a number of our games. I think he does a really good job. I just wanted some clarification on the interception because from what it looked like on the replay, I was surprised that he made that call. Because it seemed like it was simultaneous possession until he was out of bounds. I just wanted a clarification of because he had 2 feet in when he was touching the ball, although it looked like simultaneous possession, when he had full control, solo control, after he went out of bounds, does it revert back to him having 2 feet in when there was simultaneous possession? Didn't get the kind of answer I was looking for. Not in, he was very respectful, and I felt like I was respectful as well.
What does that mean? You didn't get the kind of answer you were looking for.
I didn't think it was a. It was a. I don't know if he totally understood what I was asking or saying. Now a ref came in, the side judge, who actually ruled incomplete, came in and actually agreed with me. It was Pete's decision, it's a tough job to do. The referees, I think Pete Morelli does a great job.
Tough job to do, but you still think you're right.
No, I just wanted some clarification on it. If that is the rule where he has 2 feet in as it's simultaneous possession, and when he finally gets solo possession out of bounds, if it reverts back to the 2 feet that were in bounds when he was touching the ball, then I totally understand. I was just in the impression if it's simultaneous possession at the time before there's a person who has solo possession,
right?
Then how can you rule that he was when he had solo possession that his feet were in bounds because they weren't?
Kind of like being pushed out of bounds when you catch the ball and you don't land in bounds. Similar, don't you think? That rule used to be that there was the push out, and now that doesn't matter anymore?
Maybe.
Okay. This one comes from Dustin. He says, the game that I've been most impressed by this season was when you went to Atlanta and you trailed 14-0 and you ended up beating them by 11. Is there a game where you've really been impressed with what you guys have done as a team during this streak?
I think San Diego was a good one for us, because we've had probably two or three games where it's been a little bit choppy offensively, where the defense has either scored, or we've had, like Carolina, where the first quarter we fumbled the kickoff and only had 3 plays. There's been two or three games like that where we've been able to refind our rhythm on offense and score when we needed to give us the advantage. So I'm most proud of those situations where it's an unusual game because of the circumstances of, you know, San Diego. We had back-to-back pick sixes, so you go a good amount of time on the clock, but also in actual time because the TV timeouts without touching the ball, and it's difficult to find your rhythm again. So it's been fun to find your rhythm again and score no points to win. So that game, the Carolina game as well, the Atlanta game with the adversity we dealt with there and a good football team, those are all good wins for us.
Our buddy Paul Horning is back, not the Hall of Famer. On Ryan Grant's first touchdown, you yelled kill, which that sounds like that goes back to your feelings about the microphone on the field. What did you see to change the play? Because obviously Ryan told us after the game that was supposed to be a pass, and you changed it to a run.
Ryan's been riding me a little hard about when he has run plays called. Sometimes I'll throw the adjustment or chain it to a pass.
Right.
So it's kind of an ongoing joke between us about a run play being called and him knowing I'm probably going to throw it. So I had to, I had to pay him back for his patience. I always tell him I'm trying to help out his yards per carry average, and if there's, too many guys in the box, that's when I throw it. That's when I like to throw it. But in that situation, the play that was called was going to work better if we were running it to the left. So we did that. Ryan made a great run, made a couple guys miss, and showed that speed.
Jonathan asks a question that I've wondered about, too. He says, is it fair to say that you use your eyes more than pump fakes to ward off defensive backs? Explain to me a little bit how you use your eyes to impact what the defense does? Because I think that's really interesting.
Well, you know what? The eyes are very important to moving defenders and finding those windows. Some games you're going to use them more than others. The eyes are often used more in a zone game where you have to move defenders with your eyes to create those windows. Sometimes, you know, when you're playing a team that's going to play predominantly man, the eyes are used mostly just to move a deep safety to get them from coming off the hash. The hash is too much, and open up those windows outside for your balls down the sideline. But the pump fake is something I think is just like Bob Knight would say, the shot fake is an underused part of the game today in basketball. I think the pump fake is maybe not used as much because I think it's a very helpful tool. When you get outside the pocket, you're able to move guys with your pump fakes and when you use them as almost a timing mechanism, as I do at times, it really helps balance your weight out from time to time. I've done it, you know, a play as simple as the one a couple weeks ago in hitting Andrew Corliss, you know, on just a little second and four, but a pump fake back to the middle to draw the corner off of him. And he was sliding from the left to the right and hit him for just about a 7 or 8 yard gain. But it was a first down. But just a subtle little pump fake back to the inside allowed me a split second longer to stay away from the defensive lineman chasing me. And the corner backed off, and I was able to get a little window to hit Andrew Corliss.
Speaking of passes to tight ends, Tony asks, does Mike McCarthy listen to our show, or do you approach him and talk to him about certain players or strategies? You talked about Ryan Taylor last week, and lo and behold, his first offensive snap of the season, he gets a touchdown and then a weak Lambeau leap.
I heard it was terrible. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of laughs when they show the highlight tape this week and show him trying to get up over that wall. I heard that Walden's wasn't great either, but he made a point to say yesterday in the locker room that it was better than Ryan Taylor, so Ryan's must have been really bad. But Ryan is a talented guy. I think he has a lot of potential to be a big-time player in this league. I think he's done it the right way. He's shown in practice just about every day on the look team that he's making a lot of plays. So I think there's been a lot of people pulling for him to get some opportunities. And he made a nice catch. It wasn't an easy throw. It was on his outside, off the frame of the body, and he had to make a nice hands catch. And was happy, real happy to see him. And you wouldn't notice unless, you know, you had a camera on me and a camera on where I was looking. But after he threw a touchdown, the first people I was looking for were Graham and Matt. And they were pointing right at me, and I was pointing back at them because those guys throw to him every day and always tell me, hey, if he gets in, give him a chance. And I was happy to see him get an opportunity to make a good play.
That was, I know, his first time. But you guys have used Panther, which is the four tight ends. You've used it a few times this year. That wasn't the first time, was it? I feel like I saw it a few, maybe three or four.
I think it was
snaps.
The second, maybe.
Okay. Last week we talked about your favorite Christmas movies or shows to watch. Maureen asks, what's your favorite Christmas song? I'm a Feliz Navidad guy, personally. I'm a big fan of that one.
Why did you have to say that? Because I don't want to have to agree with you on this, but... I love Feliz Navidad.
I thought I was buying you some time so you could think, and here
yeah,
I stole you.
Prospero Año y Felicidad.
I don't sing the Spanish part, but props
to
you
for
doing
it. Yeah, I do. You know what? When I think about Christmas songs, I think about like Christmas Eve at church, and you're singing like Silent Night.
So you're not a pop Christmas song
no.
guy. You're more of a hymn guy.
Yeah, I'd say I'm more of the hymn guy, but not Silent Night, and not Little Drummer Boy. You know, I love White Christmas, the movie and the song. So I'm gonna probably have to go with that after Feliz Navidad.
Wow, that must have pained you to have to agree with me.
It's difficult.
I'm really sorry about that. Marcus wonders if you could play any role in The Princess Bride, which obviously Marcus pays attention to the show. What role would you pick?
Wesley, of course.
Slam dunk on that one.
Talked to him on my birthday. Did I mention that last week?
Wait, what?
Cary Elwes called me.
No!
Yeah, he did.
He heard the show and knew your birthday was coming, or what?
Yeah, he did.
No, tell. Come on now. You can't drop that and then not tell us more of this.
We have a mutual friend who, for my birthday, wanted to have Cary call me. So he called, and I, of course, thought it was a joke. And, you know, and I'm like, ah, very funny. Who is this? No, it's Kerry. And he's talking, and he has an accent. And I said, okay, somebody's either trying really hard or it's actually him. And he was very nice, gracious, and complimentary, and as was I. I mean, that's my favorite movie. But it was fun to, you know, it wasn't just a, hey, happy birthday, see you. It was a good conversation. So I was excited to be able to talk to him and hopefully, you know, meet up in the off season.
So now you know what it's like when people talk to you and what a big deal it is to them to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Was there a little bit of that for you just because of the way you feel about the movie? I mean, I know you're, I'm sure you were cool about it or whatever, but.
No, I was excited. Yeah. No doubt about it. I was real excited. It didn't quite meet the Michael Jordan conversation, the first time, but, I was really excited about it.
Not like throwing.
I was really nervous talking to Michael.
Okay.
I was super geeked about talking to Kerry, but just more like nervous. I'm gonna say something really stupid. Can't talk when I met Michael Jordan, and excited geek to talk to Kerry.
I guess I missed this story. Chris wants to know, what did you think about Antrell Roll's comments about you being cocky? Did you hear these?
No, I didn't.
Okay, how about I do the research on that, and I'll get back to you next week.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Zach wants to know, why is your favorite soccer team Man City, and who is your favorite player? Man City? Is that your favorite team?
Well, no, I'm not sure what they're exactly referring to, but maybe, I don't know if the picture is surfaced, but they sent me a jersey.
You talked to Wayne Larrivee, you're wearing one, right?
That must be it. Yeah, they... Man City found out that I was a fan of the English Premier League and enjoyed playing the FIFA soccer game on Xbox. But they sent a jersey out with my number and my name on it and wanted to get a photo to use. And I don't know what for, but I am a soccer fan. I think that the Premier League is an art form, the way they play soccer out there. I enjoy watching the MLS as well and hope that it you know, can continue to gain. I think it's gained some momentum. The World Cup obviously helped, and getting some bigger name players like David Beckham and Thierry Henry and some of these guys who've come over has helped. But I'm not going to say that Man City is my favorite team. I haven't been able to watch as many games as I enjoy watching this season, but I have been following the Premier League.
I thought you soccer guys had to have your like Chris Jenkins from the Associated Press, who's a good friend of mine, and you know him well. He's all about Arsenal. I mean, you don't have to.
I was a Liverpool fan from early in my career, and that was my team. I'd play with FIFA all the time, and I have a signed jersey, a 2004 team, in my basement actually. But they traded away just about every player on that team, other than Steven Gerrard, who I don't even know if he's there anymore. But
did they get demoted after that? Is that
Liverpool? No, they're not demoted. They're
because what I wanted to ask you is, do you think we should have that in the NFL? Where you get what is that called? I'm not a soccer guy. Where you play so poorly that they basically dump you out of the league to the next level.
No, I don't know if we're gonna. Where would you go? I mean,
I don't know.
The top two from the Canadian League or from the UFL are gonna come up or what?
Last two. First one from Andrew. With the success of your recent ads, would you consider hosting Saturday Night Live like Peyton Manning did?
I would consider, yes.
Okay, so should we put the word out?
It's out.
All right. And then finally, this one comes from Kyle, who apparently had quite an interesting weekend. He says, I had the distinct pleasure of watching Luke and Jordan sing karaoke this past Saturday. Who among you three has the best singing voice?
I'm going to say myself.
Of course you are.
Definitely going to say myself. But I think that those guys are probably better stage performers.
They've got more stage presence?
I think Jordan first, Luke second, myself third, stage performance. Singing voice, probably me, Luke, Jordan.
Now, you got to go see Jordan play at Vanderbilt this season once during the bye week. Is that the first time all three of the brothers have been together for a weekend in a while, or was that is that something that happens fairly often?
This weekend, you mean? Or
this past weekend, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they actually surprised me. The guy that sang the national anthem, Jess Hoag, is a good friend of all three of ours now.
Really?
With the three of us, because of Jordan and because of my love for country music, we've all spent a number of weekends or time in Nashville, and gotten to know some of the guys there. And Josh has become a good friend of Luke's, especially. And Luke actually put in a word to see if Josh could sing the anthem, because he's been a Packer fan his entire life.
Really?
And they told him he could sing it. And so he took the tour bus up, and my little brother jumped in, and so it was good to see them. And Luke and my college roommate and my two best friends surprised me this weekend as well.
Cool. Well, we will do this again next week. Now, if you get enough questions early on in the show, are you going to turn it over to Matt Flynn for the rest of the show next week, or
maybe?
We'll see if we'll see if Matt's available. But good luck this weekend. Obviously, the opportunity for the Packers to reach the number one seed in the NFC with a victory or with the San Francisco 49ers playoff loss. Your magic number is one. And we'll talk about what 14-0 feels like, theoretically, next week. You have been listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.